I got it. I watch the smooth fade now.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh, we'll have to listen for that.
We are at Wheelhouse Cowork.
Yes.
No, fuck, again.
Oh, gosh, you got it, man.
Take two.
Take two.
At the Wheelhouse Cowork.
I got it in my head.
The website's Wheelhouse Cowork.
I know, that's it. It's Wheelhouse Work.
Okay,
but it's co-working space.
Okay.
And it's in Gloucester, Mass. And we're here with Nate. We just did a Facebook Live video. And then we had a lot of fun with that, and I'm going to link to that Facebook Live video so people can really get an idea of where we're at. But Nate Cahill is with us.
Joey, thanks for having it here. It's great to have you guys here. This is fantastic.
Thank you. We got Pat and Jimmy Dalpiaz here.
Gloucester.
Kim showed up.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Chris McCarthy's going to be here for a little bit.
Yes.
Thanks for coming.
I wanted to come because I am a remote employee, work from home.
Yeah, so you gotta check it out.
I had to check
this
it out.
This is some space.
So,
this is
good stuff.
Beautiful.
This is excellent. And maybe we can use this time with this group to see if Chris would be a good fit for this. Is going to be a tough decision for me.
This is
the situation.
Take that off my face.
This is his interview.
Right, this is it.
I'll tell you what. You may want to rethink that.
I think you would be a wonderfully entertaining
co-worker. Truly.
You have workers all over the place right now. You're in the final leg, and the place is screaming for people to be coming in here and like have a beehive of activity.
That's it. There's a hum about the place that I really enjoy. I've had so much fun as part of this process working with some great folks to put this together, all local craftsmen doing the work here, which is great. And I'm just really thrilled to open the doors. And this is actually a little bit of news too for folks. We're gonna have our first kind of open to the public event on January 26th on Saturday.
Oh. Coming right up.
That's right. Yeah, okay. And this idea was born on GMG. EIEIO roasting. Do you remember that show we did with EIEIO coffee roasting?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna do a coffee tasting with Ian.
Oh, that's
here.
Nice. That's great.
It's gonna be a lot of fun, a little pop-up event for EIEIO, and we're gonna be doing something really cool. There's going to be an exclusive bit to it. Only members can join this part of it. But we're going to be tasting his coffee and giving him a little feedback on it. And then EIEIO is going to be making a Wheelhouse blend coffee for us.
Oh,
and we'll
great.
Be serving that every day here
that
at the place.
Symbiosis.
Yes.
Symbiosis. That podcast that all came together. They never would have probably met.
That's it. We never would have. This is great. Right?
I'm going to wait for the Cape Ann Brewers.
The beer one?
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll get you.
Not that I don't like EIA.
No, that's still that's
LNOP.
special Wheelhouse Brew.
Yeah.
Wheelhouse Brew, I see this going big.
It's going to be huge.
You may make more money off the co-branding than you will off of renting out the space.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
I got already a good idea for you.
Sure.
Maybe he can sponsor our bathing suits next year.
Oh my gosh, you're right. I saw those.
I don't know whether you want to do that.
Those can't cost that much money. They're super thin.
EIEIO.
That's kind of a lot of words across the back of that.
I can see changing.
Well, what are you trying to say? That it couldn't fit? You could fit EIEIO on mine. You would have to go with GMG for Chris, but EIEIO for me.
You'd go welcome to Jamaica for me.
Yeah.
What side are we talking about? Never mind. I just want to say for a second, once you talk about where we're actually sitting,
right.
And briefly say, this is the safe.
We're literally in the former safe.
Yeah. This is
on the vault. Oxygen.
Yeah. This is the vault. This is the vault conference room, which is going to be really great for here at Wheelhouse. It's going to fit 12 people comfortably around a big, custom conference table. It's just going to be gorgeous. This is going to be available to members for a discounted rate, and then to everyone in Gloucester for just $50 an hour. You can come and have your business meetings here. and have it in a space where you're going to have the great EIEIO coffee available to you, and a beautiful TV, and a conference, you know, professional conference room phone, so it's going to have great acoustics in here, and that's all going to come together. But this is the first time the space has been used.
There we go. There's six of us in here right now. It's very comfortable.
Six of us. You can easily double the amount of people, if not triple.
Did you mention that big screen there?
Big old TV.
Someone is going to take pictures before we leave.
I have pictures.
And the nice thing is, Nate said it was okay for me to have Joe's bachelor party.
There's a clean and fee associated with that,
but there'll be a date.
The electrician didn't tell them it's not a good idea. There's too many windows. Not a good idea.
Right. I'm just going to get a bunch of guys.
Play cards.
Yeah. Say prayers,
lock the vault.
You know what I'm looking at? It's really awesome lock on this door here.
Oh, you should see the door.
What is this? That's
an original piece that I just, it's so cool. That's the actual vault door, which is...
What is this made out of? Like solid metal?
It is. It's solid metal. And there's three...
With an imprint on it.
The visual really translates for an audio podcast. You know exactly what we're talking about.
What you have to do to see this amazing vault door is schedule a tour with me. Come down to the space and we'll walk around, and that's what I've been doing with folks, and just walking them through and seeing if they're a good fit for the space. It's a nice thing to do, and we've been doing it every week, a couple, 10, 15 people a week, which has been great.
That's nice. Good.
Co-work space, a trend, much like these economies of we have Uber is a totally revolutionized the taxi industry.
What's Uber?
Uber's
left. all kinds of things. Disruptive things that make perfect sense, and you wonder why it hadn't happened a long time ago. So many people now, in the past, I would say 10, 15 years, the amount of people that do not work in dedicated office space in downtown Boston, but do the same amount of work from home, then they're home, and then they may have young children and can't get anything done. This is a perfect opportunity to be in a space with other like-minded professionals. And there's also, we were talking about this earlier with Nate, how, one person is an accountant, one person is a video editor or producer. There's all these, you may have within one space a whole bunch of people that could work with each other and, create business. And
the energy will build on itself.
And not having to pay for, you're paying a fraction of what you would pay if you rented a whole office and were using it for yourself.
That's it. And it's one bill. With having your own office, because I've been through this struggle. My wife's opening up an office on Main Street for her therapy practice. If you open one office, first, really difficult to find that office. And then you've got all the bills to pay, the electricity, the Comcast, all this stuff. It's so much simpler to come in, have a space here, to have one bill. You don't have to think about operating your office space. You don't have to hire a cleaner or anything like that. It's all taken care of for you.
Right.
And that is, it's truly, it makes people more productive, and it lets business grow. And that's really what Wheelhouse, when you want to talk about what it's all about, it's about business is growing, small business is growing downtown.
And I was telling you, Nate, one of the most attractive things for me is that it forces me to get out of bed in the morning. It forces me to get out of my pajamas in the morning. Yeah. And it forces me to shower.
That's it.
Those are three things.
Otherwise, none of that would happen.
Difficult thing doing each day.
That's it.
Being a work from home salesperson. So.
It does remind me a lot of shared studio spaces that artists have. It's really kind of modeled after that.
Maybe this is already in the plan, but have you considered on one of these posts putting one of those big ship's wheels, since it's the Wheelhouse? So people have something they can play with when they're frustrated.
That's so funny. I've been thinking about that.
You need a wheel in a Wheelhouse.
What's interesting right now, we've been having this podcast, we're in this room with a sliding glass door. There are literally construction workers on the other side of this glass running tools, having conversations and everything else, and we really haven't been disturbed by them at all.
And the door is open.
That's it.
To kind of help with the sound.
Oh, yeah.
And we still can't.
Right, you can't hear.
You can't hear a thing.
No, it's great. Yeah, all my wood tables just arrived. And yeah, in the blink of an eye, now I've got all the wood, which is great. That's going to be happening today. We're going to be putting all those tables.
Driving up and down Duncan Street throughout the last couple months, I noticed all the guys you hired are all local guys.
Oh, absolutely.
You kept it all local.
That's really big for me. I wanted to keep it all local. And that
who are some of the nice guys that you've been able to work with?
You know, I'm talking about the tables. Bob Frontiero put the tables together for me. He handed all my maple tables. It's a lot of work, a ton of work, and he did it all. He did amazing work, was really good. So Anthony Costanzo did the electricity in here, and he's doing it right now. You're seeing his guys working real hard this week, getting that polished off. That's been great. Chris Palazzola was my general contractor. So much credit to Chris. He's done an amazing amount of work in such a small space of time. And with such professionalism, he's just impressed the heck out of me. So really great work.
Right on deadline, right on schedule.
Right on schedule, and it truly, he's been moving so many different pieces. I don't know how he keeps these things in a row, but he keeps all the ducks in a row, and it's been great to work with.
The plasterers?
Primo plasterers.
Primo plasterers.
Did great work with them. And kind of a fun thing on Facebook with that. They're doing the plasters, but in, you know, fast motion. Yeah, it was pretty fun. But they did great work.
How many, you might have already gone through this in the Facebook live thing.
That's all right.
But how many spaces are here?
That's a great question. And this is a lot of people phrase it a little differently. They say, what's your capacity, right? And I have a real hard time answering that because my mission statement with this space is to have a great workspace for everybody. And that means that I have a number of seats, yes. But at certain points, it's not about filling up every seat. It's really about feeling out that capacity thing and seeing what's the right number for the space. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually opening up, and I'm going to have a hard line on this, I'm only opening up at 75% capacity because I want to test it out.
You want to test it out,
right?
Yeah.
And then we'll figure it out what exactly. But I
can also think everybody's dynamics. And
That's it, of course. So we're going to have 10 dedicated slips in the middle, though, and then we're going to have office space with 2, 4, 6 people in office space. And we'll have 22 other seats for floating access. And we'll fill that up to 75% capacity and see how that works. And maybe 75 is 100. And that's why I really like having this mission statement, because it keeps me centered. It's about having a good office space, not filling up every seat.
Yeah.
When you say floating spaces, do you mean that people can temporarily use an office? Rented office?
That's it. So we have day passes and monthly passes with floating access. And that's, some people call it hot desking. I just don't really like that phrase.
I don't like it either. Yeah.
But it's, in essence, it's not a dedicated area that you will have, that no one else will sit at. It's just 22 seating options that are, you can come in and see what's available. And those will be at desk height, at high top seating, so standing workstations. And the lounge space will all be available to you.
Beautiful.
You know, I'm asking, I'm thinking of my husband because I'm taking care of Charlotte so much, and my husband works from home.
Yeah. Trying to kick him out.
But, you know, maybe he'd like a little floating space every day.
I think there's probably a ton of people that would like this type of space or could use this. And you know, getting the word out is what needs to be done.
That's it. No, because, I appreciate this, yeah.
You know,
Nate, just quickly, so how can people find out more?
Absolutely. So schedule a tour with me. That's the best first step you can take. And you go to wheelhousework.com. That's wheelhousework.com. Big link in the middle, schedule a tour. You can do it through there. You can also do it through my from my Facebook page as well. Book a tour. Give me a call. Give me an email, nate@wheelhousework.com. And we'll set something up. I'd just love to have you down in the space. We can just see what the best option is for you.
Super. Good stuff.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Yeah. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Well done.
All right, we're going to call our buddy Ralph DiGiorgio right now. See if he's available.
He's still in bed. Hold it. Oh, no, he should be up. His alarm usually goes off at 10 o'clock. Well, you know, he's busy packing for his big trip.
What is Ralph doing?
What's your number?
Ralph owns his own
civil engineering
company.
Did you reach Ralph's voicemail?
fairly large construction.
Ralph failed us.
Hi, Ralph. This is Jim D. We're doing a podcast, and
that's classic.
Ralph has failed us.
Hi, this is Jim. Hi, this is Jim D. We're doing a podcast. I was told to call you. You didn't answer, but it's quite comical, your message. Thanks a lot. We'll see you. Bye.
All right, so.
So what does Ralph do?
He's in the import-export business.
All right.
Waste management. No. It's concrete.
Oh, my gosh.
No, really.
Who saw on Facebook the city, I think it was the DPW, was it the DPW?
I don't remember.
Put out a survey. Would you, and the survey was on Facebook, would you support a deposit on nips to go along with beer cans?
Oh, that's a great idea.
I think so too.
That is a fantastic idea.
What kind of nips?
Nip bottles.
Nip bottles.
Yes, okay. Not nipples.
Okay, yeah.
No deposit
on nipples.
No, that's an amazing idea.
I think it's like, I'm actually, so last I checked, it was 93% in favor.
Really?
Like such a no-brainer type of deal.
Right.
We have the most awesome DPW, and they do such a fantastic job, but you cannot believe the amount of nips.
They could probably fund their own, I don't know.
People just don't get it. I mean, why are people throwing the nips?
Hold on, hold on. We're going to do another call-in, but I'm going to call Kate this time.
Because people are throwing the nips out of their cars because you can't legally drive while you're drinking. So,
you can't.
I say change the laws so you can drink and drive.
If there was a deposit on them, people would clean them up. I think it helped a lot.
Oh, I see what you're saying, right?
Yeah, it helped with cans and bottles.
Right.
So, okay, we're gonna call Kate right now.
A great deal.
We're gonna call Kate.
Because
Kate goes for
it. Why not?
You should be allowed to drink at least 3 nips a day in the car. I mean, you got to analyze the core of the issue.
The core demographic.
The issue is not having people pick up the nips and getting 5 cents.
The issue is,
let me at least have 3 nips in the car. I'll leave them in the car, and then I'll dispose of them when I get home.
This comes from a guy that never gets out of his PJs.
Hey, there's Kate. We wanted some input from you because on your daily walks around the back shore in East Gloucester, you often bring bags and you collect nips. And I told you yesterday that I saw that Gloucester, I think it was the DPW, put out a survey saying, would you support a nickel deposit on nips, nip bottles, and you know, like just like they have on cans and stuff like that. And I wanted to hear your take on that. We're taping the podcast. I figured you know this.
I think it's a good idea. I don't think it's gonna make a difference. I mean, how many hard lemonade cans do I pick up, and half blue ribbons do I pick up, and the Sutter Home 4 pack of wine? People are still gonna throw them out. Maybe people will more, but people are still gonna toss them out the window.
Yeah, but do they?
They're hiding it. The people that are tossing beer cans and nip bottles, hiding it from their family, spouse, whoever.
Yeah. Right.
That's
right.
Not getting rid of that. They're not going to say, let me redeem this for 5 cents.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. Maybe more people will pick them up and redeem them.
I think that was.
It's not going to be the booze bag they're tossing the nips to go back to the store and redeem them for 5 cents. It's not going to happen.
So I'm getting a little sick to my stomach because I was over your house this past weekend and I asked for some vodka and you pulled a nip out of your pocketbook. Am I drinking vodka from the streets of Gloucester?
I don't buy them. I was holding on to them for somebody.
Oh, geez, thank God.
And in the end, it worked out for a few of them, so...
Jeez. So how much income have you been able to generate?
Are they recyclable?
No. They're not recyclable now, but the question is...
I mean, deposit-wise, I think they're recyclable.
Oh, recyclable, right.
Yes.
But you can't get 5 cents back.
Right.
But yeah, so I think... Kate, do you think that the number of NIPS that are on the ground would decrease in some capacity if there was a nickel deposit? Do you think people would go around collecting them or no?
I would hope yes, but I really don't think it's going to make a difference. I think it's a good idea. I mean, any little bit helps, and who is it going to hurt to add, you know, that on there?
Cranking up to a dollar.
So Larry Ingersoll, I think, I don't know if he's a retired policeman or if he's still a policeman, he made a point that they still haven't earmarked the money that they collect for regular cans and bottles.
Oh.
And
well, how much? I mean, that must be in the billions then.
It's a lot of money, right?
Right.
So his point, and I can't speak to the truth in that or not, but I think that people would, if you could tie the money that is collected to
a visible
outcome, I think people would really get behind it.
Yeah.
So, when you say that, it reminds me of when I go to Max Fitness, they have got this little case, it looks like a yellow bag, and it says, drop the caps of your water bottles off here, and it stands right behind the container where you recycle your plastic water bottles. And one of the members, I don't know who it is, Marcy would know, but took all of those caps and created this huge, mosaic art piece of all the caps. And it was just like, wow, all of that could be floating in the ocean, and he made a beautiful art piece from it. You know, so yes, if there's something visible and tangible that people can see, this is where my money is going when I redeem the NIFs, then, you know, maybe it would entice people to do something about it.
Yeah.
Well, the soda cans or beer cans, the tops, the flip tops, some people collect them.
How about you just don't throw them out the window?
No, but I think you're 100% right, and the biggest part of the problem with the NIPS are the people that are buying the NIPS are people that have a drinking problem and they're hiding it from their loved ones or whatever, and they're taking their ride around, and you see them in particular around the back shore because they're taking that ride, you know, taking the NIPS maybe before they go home or before they go to work or whatever, but. I'm in favor of the nickel, because a nickel to me isn't gonna kill me. But I'm also in favor of earmarking that money for something that would help.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? You know what the low hanging fruit answer would be? Barrels on the beaches.
Yeah.
What I just said. We just spoke over each other saying the same exact thing, Kate. So
yeah.
All right, I love you. I'm gonna let you go. And yes, I will get that chuck roast for you.
Thank you, baby.
Love you, honey.
I was gonna say congratulations to Dad on that article.
Yeah.
Saved me.
Oh, I know, Dad. Kate's dad saved a life. You wanna call Ralph now? Because he just called it.
Yeah, he called me too.
So it would just be Gloucester only, the deposit.
So local thing, yeah.
A local thing, or Cape Ann thing.
We're going to call it.
If it would encourage picking, if it would encourage less trash, even if it doesn't necessarily encourage.
Good morning, people.
Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Mr. 4-0.
I'll tell you.
He's not 4-0.
You know, I'm real, real happy that you people give me so much notice in the morning.
Yeah, no shit. We're all upset at Joe this morning, Ralph.
Chris said that, you know, it would be hard to get a hold of you because your alarm usually doesn't go off until 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning.
I didn't say that.
That's what you said. Listen to the podcast.
I didn't say that.
I'm the one that doesn't work around here.
4-0, Ralph. You picked correctly against the spread. 4-0. You'd be crushing the casinos right now.
Who is 3-1?
I know.
Me.
I'll tell you, I wish I put money on this one.
Yeah. Don't put it on the next game, next week's game.
Well, don't. What's the spread right now, Joe? Is it three?
Three. I heard three.
Yeah. Three going up to seven.
Can't see you at three, huh?
Kansas City giving three. The Patriots are underdogs.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? I think I'm still going to have to take the Pats.
Wow.
I'm with you, Rob.
I don't know how. I mean, as a devoted Patriots fan, I don't know how you could place a bet against them. Like who wants to watch that game and root against the Patriots?
Yeah.
You know, the only way I would ever bet against the Patriots is if the spread was like over eight or something like that, so that they could still win. And you know what I mean? Like,
as long as they cover. I mean, if they win by three, I'm excited that the Patriots won, but I'm pissed that I lost $3.
Yeah.
Did you get that, Ralph?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, $3. It's more than what you spent on dinner yesterday.
Actually, I was in Burlington yesterday, Tuscan Grill. Over by Leahy Clinic for a client dinner, and it was pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm not gonna drive.
It was on the company, so it still didn't cost.
I'm not gonna drive all the way to Burlington to go to Tuscan Grill.
Where is that located?
Right over by the mall.
Leahy
Clinic. Yeah. I'm sure everyone knows.
You know where we had lunch yesterday? Because we're down. I went with Kate down to Rhode Island. Panera.
Panera.
And I gotta tell you something.
Panera yesterday too.
I think Panera may be the most overrated. Okay. Every time I get one of their sandwiches, it sounds fabulous. And I'm always disappointed.
Yeah.
I like their French onion soup, that's about it.
After the first couple times you're disappointed, why are you going back?
Because Kate had to get some food for her the people that she was working with, you know, some of her customers.
Ralph, you're on the road a lot. Where do you pick up stuff like that? Where do you go and pick up? Don't tell me McDonald's.
I know where
you'll disappoint me.
We know where he's going to sit.
But here's the thing with me. When I'm on the road, I prepare ahead of time. I'll have something at the house before I leave. And then when I get to where I'm going, I typically know the restaurants in the neighborhood. I don't typically eat on the fly. Because there's absolutely nothing you can possibly eat while you're driving that's good for you.
Oh,
if you haven't noticed by now, Ralph,
type A.
Type A.
And being on this diet.
Oh, hey Joe. So listen to this. Last night I went to the Bruins game.
What a win! What a win! With no time on the clock, right?
No, they lost in overtime.
They lost in overtime in 15 seconds. It was horrific. It was horrific. But it was a good game, other than that. But prior to that, we went to in the North End for dinner to Brico. And they had this special on the menu. It was shrimp and cherry tomatoes with zucchini and a very light sauce, which it was spicy, a spicy tomato sauce, but it was very, very light. It wasn't thick at all. And it was over linguine and shrimp. So the waiter came over, and I said to him, look, I said, you know, this sounds delicious. I said, you know, and I know it's a special, but would you mind asking the chef if you make it with lobster? Oh, sure, no problem. No. So my other buddy said, yeah, we want the same thing. Well, we wait and then wait and then wait and wait. We got there 5:30. We had, by the time the meal came, we had three drinks.
Ooh, wow.
And we're still waiting for the food. Finally, the food comes at like 7:05.
Ooh.
It was a little, but all of a sudden they show up with this platter, 3-pound lobster on each platter, with all cut right in half, and it was lights out delicious.
Oh, did you take a picture?
Oh, that sounds
good. And I said to my wife this morning, I can't believe I forgot to take a picture.
Oh, wow. She's Brico.
And after the game, we ended up at Cafe Victoria for desserts and cappuccino. We walked out of there around 1 o'clock this morning.
Wow, what a night.
I don't know how you do it. I do not know how you do it.
Well, because he's doing it over a long period of time, like starting at 5:30 to 1.
He's a savage. He's a savage. So, Ralph, can I ask you a question? What I saw a clip of Krejci. Did he tie it? in the final seconds, or was that looking at something wrong?
He tied the game. I want to say it might have been like 34 seconds left in the game.
Okay, that's what I saw.
Because we had a power play, and we pulled a goalie, so it was a 6-on-4.
Wow.
And, you know, the place went absolutely bananas. And before people even, like, stopped applauding in overtime, we lost.
Oh, it was one of those. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, it was horrible. But there was a great goal by Montreal. The guy knocked it right out of midair into the net. So it was a little disappointing, but it was still a good game.
We 100% are going to plan a road trip to Montreal when the Bruins are playing up there. We have to make that happen.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that.
It'll be a lot of fun.
All
right, Ralph. Well, thanks for calling in. Everybody loves to hear you. You're a big star.
I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. And I won't be around this weekend. I'm leaving tomorrow morning bright and early for West Yellowstone. So.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah, he's going to be tearing up the wilderness.
Yeah, that sounds
He's going to deposit a ton of exhaust fumes. He's going to ruin the wilderness.
Is he going with his family? Is this to some?
Are you doing a cast on Sunday?
Yeah.
Or is it Thursday?
What time
is
Sunday?
Early, like 8 o'clock. Well, are you going to be back? Are you going to be back by then?
I'll see if I can live stream in from the top of the mountains.
Wow.
That's going to be like 5 in the morning, though, isn't it?
You're not going to any, like, federal parks, are you? Like, because they're all shut down, right?
Well, West Yellowstone is funded by the proceeds from all the snowmobilers and all that. So it's kept open.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, good.
Good for you.
All right, Ralph. Well, listen, text me when you wake up that morning, and we'll see if we can line it up with the call-in from the top of the mountain.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later, and goodbye, everybody.
Bye,
goodbye,
Ralph. Have a good trip.
Bye-bye.
We'll see
you, Ralph. Thanks, bud.
So, Kim, you had some exciting... This is a revelation. I asked everybody, because it's short notice, because we just did a podcast like 2 days ago, right?
Yeah.
That dark chocolate is... I have to put the breaking news in here. Hold on. Oh, I don't have the breaking news in here. All right, I'm just going to give applause. Okay, I'll give you applause afterwards. Go ahead.
Dark chocolate is a better cough suppressant than cough syrup.
Yay!
People are gonna hear that. They're gonna applaud.
Yeah.
That's great. That's huge.
What is it in dark chocolate that they think suppresses
it's
the cough?
It's a better. It coats your throat.
That makes sense.
Right. Plus, it's good for you too.
Yeah,
dark chocolate is supposed to have a lot of good benefits,
like polyphenols and.
The only problem with having dark chocolate around the house is the kids will just pound it down and we'll be gone.
Yeah, don't you hide yours?
We would have to. But we need to.
Tom hides it from me.
I never feel like cough syrup really works anyway.
No,
so
I don't really feel like.
Want to hear a April Fool's joke that my ex-wife played on the kids? Tremendous, involving dark chocolate. And kudos to her, it's tremendous, right? I was obviously at work because I always go to work early. But it's April Fool's, and they come home from work, from school, and she was like, "Oh, we're gonna bake cookies when you come home from school." So she left on the counter bitter chocolate nugget pieces.
Instead of sweet chocolate.
So they went. They put a bunch of the bitter chocolate. You know how gross bitter chocolate is, right?
Yeah.
That's like those jelly beans
that
they fake out.
That is a good
The gross
example.
Jelly beans.
The gross ones, or is it real? It's actually a game that you can play.
It is, yeah. You spin the thing.
Yeah, you don't know what you're
classic.
Getting.
That's that classic.
I'll have to file that dark chocolate thing away. That's a good one.
Remember that for, you know what, I got to reuse that, so
well,
that'd be great.
It going on here, but that'd be perfect for the, you know, Chris when he comes in here. Here's some dark chocolate.
Well, he's on a psycho diet right now where he doesn't eat any kind of sugars or.
Does he feel better doing that? Is he feeling better?
He didn't say he's feeling better, but he's definitely losing weight.
Really?
rapidly. He's like, it's a strict kind of keto diet that he's on. When you do a keto diet, if you cheat just a little bit, all the benefits go out the window. Because you put yourself into ketosis, which is like
your body,
your metabolism is absolutely chewing up, proteins like meats and stuff like that get broken down very quickly, but carbs get stored immediately. But when there's no carbs to pull from, the proteins that have turned into fat in your body get depleted quickly.
More quickly.
Yeah.
There's another new study out that talks about how for years, and this is one reason why all the Western societies are gaining weight, treating each calorie equal. So calories in, calories out. The calorie from sugar is the same as but which is just not.
It
we all instinctively knew that anyways, but it isn't accurate. And they're learning that when you burn a refined sugar calorie, you're not burning calories from your gut, and you want to burn calories from your gut as much as you want to burn, regular energy calories. And that comes from eating whole grains, vegetables, fruits, all much more complex carbohydrates than refined sugars. So anyway, we all kind of know that.
We all kind of know that. And when you get older, you kind of figure out what is, what is making you feel lethargic, what gives you energy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you, and as you get older, you almost have to kind of pay attention to more to what things, because when you're younger, you can put anything down and nothing affects you.
Right.
Just like young kids, like go out without shorts in the middle of the winter, and they're like, they go for a jog with no shorts on, and it's like 10 degrees out. You're like, looking at them like, are you fucking out of your mind? I have to have 5 layers on to survive. And these kids are like, but I remember when I was a kid going out in the middle of the winter playing basketball in shorts and like laughing at my mother who said, you're going to die.
You got to put a sweater on. Aren't you cold? I'm so cold.
Even when we did the polar plunge, I was watching some of the high schoolers and youngers who said, well, we're going to jump in the ocean. So they were walking around with their trunks and that's it.
Yeah, no problem.
And I was, whoa.
I think refined sugars like soda. I think soda is probably the number one killer in America right now. I really do.
Soda and candy, I think.
Candy, yeah.
Yeah, junk and chips, like nacho chips and stuff like that, the ones that are made by Doritos with not just the corn chip, God only knows what chemicals make them so delicious.
Right.
And probably French fries too.
I told you what Liv's New York dentist told her, right? Did I tell you that?
Is she okay?
Yeah, she's great.
Okay.
She's
no, I just read her Instagram post yesterday. She had a rough day, I think.
Oh, well, I'll tell you all about that. But she, a lot of good things are happening professionally, but it's very stressful.
Okay.
So, but her dentist, her new dentist said, when you leave this office, you call your mother up and you thank her. You have the best teeth of any adult I've ever seen in my office. And she said, well, we couldn't drink soda when I was growing up.
Good.
Well, for us, soda was a special thing. Like if you were sick, you got a little glass of ginger ale, or, if we went out to eat, you might have one.
She's 5,000th percentile in teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyways, I was proud.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you should be proud. You both should be proud, awesome. You and your husband.
Adventure Man, what is this all about, Adventure Man?
Well, I was, the mayor retweeted an announcement from a guy who calls himself the Adventure Man. His name is Jamie McDonald. He is running from 6,000 miles. He started in the northwestern corner of the state of Washington. He's running down the coast and across the southern part of the United States, and he's starting up the East Coast. And it's to raise money for children's medical needs.
So that
no child should go without treatment that they need due to financial concerns. And because he was ill as a child. And so now he's doing this run, and he was originally going to end the run in Maine, but this announcement was that he's going to end it here in Gloucester.
Oh,
in March,
phenomenal.
Or he's predicting it will be March.
Right.
He is from Gloucester, England, so he thinks that's
a
match made in heaven. he has a lot of people following him, streaming and such, and thought that in the spot in Maine that he picked doesn't have good reception, apparently.
Okay.
So he's planning to end his run here in Gloucester.
Now, I love the name Adventure Man. Does he wear like a cape?
He does. He has a, I don't know if he wears it when, I think, I don't know if he wears it when he's running, but so he has, it's supposed to be a 6,000 mile journey. I'm not sure how much from here to Maine takes off that 6,000. He's hoping to raise, they've raised over $100,000.
Oh,
for these children's, and he's going to go visit the children's hospital in Boston.
Do you know what the date is that he's going to be here?
He doesn't know yet. Yes,
no, it'll be weather dependent.
Right.
Is there
he's expecting it to be in March, probably near the end.
Okay,
I think was the last thing that I saw.
So we have to keep up with this.
And I have a post this morning on Good Morning Gloucester that has the links to the tracker to watch where he's going, to donate if you choose to donate. And to just some over general information about Adventure Man. And I think it's really, really, really cool that he's coming here.
100%, because Gloucester, because it would be very easy to go up the coast and not come onto the island, and then have to go off of the island, you know, because the way we are, obviously a peninsula. But Gloucester's such a cool town, obviously, he's like, stay on top of it.
Yes, I will. I'm completely intrigued by it.
I'd like regular updates.
Yes, podcast. We'll see where he is.
We'll try every time we do a podcast, we'll say, okay, this is how far he's gone.
Yeah.
And then when he gets into town, try to give notice so we can plan.
Where did you say he is?
I was
now?
Hoping he'd come to the podcast.
That'd be great.
How long he could stay, but...
Well,
where did
you
say he is now? How far is he now?
The map said Texas, but I thought he was talking about South Carolina, so I'm a little... I think he might be on the East Coast.
Oh,
at least on the East Coast. But.
So if you let him know that we can continue to promote his thing, maybe he would come on the podcast.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, Adventure Man.
Adventure Man. The foundation is called the Superhero Foundation. That raises the money for the children who can get treatments that they might not otherwise be able to afford.
That's tremendous.
So I think it's just so cool.
I think it's so exciting that it's ending here.
Yes.
And beyond exciting.
I think that, I know. I'm going to be all over that.
Fantastic.
You'll get updates.
Seaport Grill and Sherry's Corner.
Corner
Seaport
Cafe.
Grill down on Roger Street. Sherry's Corner Cafe is in Magnolia. Both reopening when?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. So. After a little bit of a break.
They're like renovation breaks. Is that what they've been doing?
Mm-hmm. Apparently, yeah. So well, I think Sherry's, they went away as a family or whatever. I don't know exactly, but
Seaport
renovations
Grill
at Seaport.
At Seaport, yeah. We had brunch at Beaufort about a week or so ago.
Oh, did you like it?
Yeah, it was very nice. It was a buffet style, but they had Eggs Benedict.
Uh-huh.
And the Eggs Benedict were making a constant stream out from the kitchen.
Oh,
so
I forgot they were sister
brunch. Sunday?
Yeah, it was Sunday.
They don't do a regular brunch.
No, because we didn't have a podcast, right?
Right.
Tom and I were like, where are we going
to get should have done a feather.
I forgot they were sister restaurants.
Yeah.
Seaport and Beaufort.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting that you forget that.
I know. I don't know how I forgot it,
but
I did.
Well, also, the night before, I met Catherine and Cliff there to celebrate Catherine's opening. And so we had such a nice time sitting in the in front of the fireplace.
She's so busy. Like, I text her all the time to come for the podcast. She never comes on the podcast. Poor Kim is... You feel the way I felt 4 days ago.
Well, I either re-got sick from Charlotte or I got what you had.
Jesus, I know. That's probably me.
I don't know.
God.
But I feel the worst for Charlotte. She's so little to have this.
Yeah.
It's been a month.
That's a long time for
you know,
a child.
Just constant running nose and coughing at night. I'm just, she's losing a little weight, I can see. Her cheeks are a little thinner and stuff like that.
Right.
So, yeah.
The worst when you can't sleep because you can't breathe.
Yeah.
You know, wait, so you woke up this morning? Is it an infection right now or is it just clear liquid coming up?
It's just clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you almost wish it got to the infection stage because then you can see what it's going to
see what it's. Well, the Yeah, I was supposed to. So Tom bought me a gift certificate to the MAC a year and a half ago for a massage. And every single time.
I've had to cancel.
I had to cancel because they don't want you when you're sick.
No.
Right.
So I had to cancel that, cancel physical therapy, cancel it.
Can I give you my go-to remedy?
Yes.
My go-to remedy.
Yeah.
The only of the voodoo medicines out there that I stand behind.
Because
Kate goes all in on all the voodoo crows, Carmen Crow stuff.
Yeah,
she,
right.
The cabinet in our house is full of the voodoo stuff, right? The only one I subscribe to is the what? It's called the Wellness Formula.
Okay.
And they have it at the Carmen Crow.
All right, I'll go there.
Okay, there's that. That in conjunction.
What is that?
It's these capsules, and they have like all this concentrated good juju in them.
Okay.
But the only reason I say that, Eric Gordon turned me on to this about 8 years ago, and every time I'm like dying, like I start taking those, and then in conjunction with Adele's gumbo at Passports, and they always have Adele's gumbo.
Adele's gumbo is so good.
But it's, do you know what Adele's, so basically the Adele's gumbo is reduced stock.
Yeah.
And we know stock is like...
Like so concentrated with
vegetables. Concentrated, right, exactly.
Juices,
like marrow.
But you know, that's interesting because I've had this worse craving for French onion soup. And the only place we could find that had French onion soup was the Gloucester House the other night. So,
really?
Yeah.
Topside has good French onion soup as well.
It wasn't on their, wasn't listed on their menu. I almost called them to say.
I always thought of that. That's my first place I think of when I think French onion soup.
All right, well, next time I'll call.
I get it.
Do you have French onion soup?
I don't think so. No, okay.
Well, maybe.
Anyways, I'm going to make a batch. It's really easy to make, so.
The essential oil is something that Pat really got hooked on when she was going through all her stuff.
Menthol and stuff?
And
No, not necessarily.
Essential oil.
It's
mixtures.
Mixtures, you can get all kinds of things.
Okay.
But I was having trouble sleeping, and they really did seem to help with that in particular. And it's also good for a lot of household cleaning and insect repellents and...
You mean like lavender oil,
yes, like
that. There's mixtures you can do, and a few times when, you know, I wasn't feeling too great, she'll put in the diffuser,
and it worked.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know the way you're feeling right now, and when you're feeling like this, you will try
anything. I'm headed to Common Crop after that.
Yeah.
Well, Passports right now probably have the gumbo too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have the nice styrofoam to-go containers. Yeah. You can take a quart to-go.
Okay.
So we went over to Cape Ann Coffee this morning before we came over to get Joey his toasted sesame bagel.
That is an amazing pile of treats there.
And we brought some cookies. Probably shouldn't talk about them after we... had that discussion about refined sugar, but it brought to mind because we were debating what to bring around for everybody else when we stopped there, and Jim suggested to bring bagels, and I was saying, well, we don't know how anybody else. We know Joey likes his toasted and buttered, but we don't know how everybody else likes them.
Yeah.
And my introduction to bagels was Long Island when I met Jim. You know, I didn't know anything about bagels really before I went to Long Island.
You can get some good bagels in New York.
Well, but not in rural New York, where I spent most of my time, and they always bring delicious bagels, but I'm the only one in the group, and it's a big group, that toasts and butter them. Nobody puts butter on them, and nobody toasts them.
Oh.
Nobody toasts them?
Nobody toasts them.
Yeah,
they cut them, and they put cream cheese on them.
Right. That's a very New Yorkish way to eat.
You think that's... that's why I'm calling it out to the group.
You buy that fresh, right. And it's right there. So toasting it is a waste of time because...
Oh, they're warm coming out, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're not toasted.
Yeah, but the place is...
boiled, right?
Like the big time... The big time New York places...
Yeah.
And there's so much traffic, street traffic or whatever,
that
they're probably getting consumed
as
they come out, so they're still warm, to smear the thing on there. I always, anytime you can toast, listen, hamburger bun, English muffin, if you can slap some type of butter or fat on there and put it face down on a griddle and caramelize and get all
right,
that goodness.
And it has a little crispy edge.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Right.
See, the big thing on Long Island, too, that you go out is you get coffee with a big roll with butter. It's not toasted. They will take a big, bread roll and slap some butter on it, and you walk in, grab your coffee, grab your butter roll, and you're gone.
But it's hot, out of the oven, right?
No.
Well, something else I didn't understand.
In Spain, when I went to Spain, like for breakfast, there wasn't breakfast.
No, they don't really have breakfast.
There was like, you'd get either a little piece of bread and butter.
Or
a coffee.
I think like the brioche in Louisiana, that in New Orleans, I think that comes from that. Like it's just like a little bit sweetened bread, same type of thing. But then you would have a big lunch.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of, did you say Louisiana?
Yeah.
Yeah, New Orleans, man.
So we didn't talk about what you did bring.
We did bring peanut butter cookies and oatmeal cookies. Kim recommended the oatmeal cookies at the last podcast. I said, well, let's bring those. And
may I take half one home?
You may take whatever you like. I'm going to leave whatever's left.
What
I'm going to leave with these.
Your fingers all over all of
these.
No one will want to take it home. Yeah.
Mine.
These guys, the guys out here that are working so hard will get what's left.
Yes, nice.
So take whatever you like.
Yeah.
They're always so nice. Was there. We saw Amanda and had a little chat with her. And they're always so nice over there.
Could make coffee.
It's just a pleasure to go.
They are nice. They're very professional. They run a tight ship.
Oh, you know what? One thing you can do, I've done this before if I haven't had time to bake anything, like you can get a plate or a platter of their cookies ahead of time. If you call,
like a catering thing?
Yeah, like a catering thing. You can call a couple hours ahead of time and say, can you make me a platter of your cookies?
I said we're going to get one of those quiches one of these days and when we're going to have company for brunch or something.
They look good.
Yeah.
So it's looking more and more like we're going to get that snowstorm this weekend.
That's what I'm hearing.
If you're a snow lover like me, that's happy news. But I know you don't like snow.
I hate snow, but I have mixed emotions because I go back to work on Thursday, and the Patriots game is on Sunday. So I'm hoping for a monstrous storm on Sunday. But not monstrous enough to knock the power out because I need to be able to watch my television.
Yeah, it sounds like Friday's not going to be too bad, but Sunday could be... maybe something.
And what's Saturday? Saturday nothing?
Well, Saturday into Sunday, I think, is the last thing I heard. I don't remember. I haven't looked at the timing.
Let it rip.
What we're hearing is over by us, they're talking a foot, if not more, by central New York where we are. We're getting that reports already.
We just assume, listen.
You
don't have to give us a forecast for upstate New York.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
You just assume
from now until May, we're going to be six feet under.
Right.
Because you get lake effect or lake.
Yeah. We can, yes.
That's why no one can understand why you live.
No, you know, it's actually the Finger Lakes.
The Finger Lakes.
Mm-hmm. And they don't understand why we come here during the winter.
I think it's because. There's so
they can't understand why you would come here rather than get buried in snow.
Close together.
Yeah.
They don't get
the Finger Lakes.
We tell them where we're going.
No, but that's true.
And I know they're listening, and right now they're going, they're saying that. I know you give me that look, Joe. I wish I could film that.
These are the same kind of people that root for Buffalo Bills. So, I mean, year in and year out.
My point was, we
can't take anything that they say with a grain of salt.
It's going right through the center of the state, and when it goes through the center and the direction it goes, I think we're going to get some here, but I don't think it's going to be as bad
as if it came up the coast.
You know, like inland.
Yeah.
A lot of people were saying that our water is still warm enough to affect it as far as us getting some rain.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mix a rain, sleet,
snow. The temperatures have been so cold.
No,
we're on that border where we could see the mix and mess and not fun, where you go in a little bit and they're going to get all plowed on the city.
Yeah, like Worcester.
I'm not sure what that means for you and your fishermen who will go out, what that means.
Everything has to do with wind and wind. So I have this one lobsterman, Pete Mondello, always says, here's a 20-20 rule. If it's under 20 degrees and 20 miles of wind, that's it. No.
That's it. No.
He says no. I mean, the other guys, everybody has a different thing. And other factors are how long it's been since the last time they hauled. Mm. You know, because if they've gotten through the gear, you know, usually they only, this time of year, they only go through the gear once a week. So if they went yesterday and today, chances are, like, they got through, they hauled through their entire string of gear, and then they won't go for like 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm. You know, I saw something interesting the other afternoon, or like it was almost like mid-morning, like one storm was leaving, and then suddenly another storm started to come in. So the sky was doing all these beautiful things, and I was down by the paint factory filming, and suddenly there were like boats from everywhere coming in and berthing. Oh, and the De Glacy was one of them. So it was like,
what? De Glacy?
Your
De Jalise.
Oh.
Sorry, Tuffy's boat.
Tuffy's boat. I should just say Tuffy's boat.
Yeah.
I say it the way I spell it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised he's still. I thought he had all his. That must have been what?
It
recently?
Like, yeah, it was like a week ago or so.
Wow, he must have just finished up bringing his gear in then.
Was that
I
the
know
last?
He was bringing all his gear in.
Was that the last of it? So anyway, so the big morning sun, or is it morning star? The big blue, the one with the beautiful blue.
Midnight sun. The Testaverde's boat.
Yeah, they were coming in. It was just like one boat after another as the sky was shifting. It was pretty wild.
And we saw the one real big one that was getting ice kicked. Cape Pond Ice.
What color was the boat?
Dark navy blue.
And he was, and I'm going with the storm. Maybe he's.
Oh, is it
going
the Lady Jane, maybe?
Maybe.
But he was
messing
up today, and I was going, well, he must be going out pretty soon.
Yeah.
There you go.
With the storm. I know she told you that, but Rockport, this is news to me. I was all excited. I was more excited than she was. Because I drove to Rockport, we were gonna go check for something, and I thought maybe the Rockport would, business in Rockport would have the item. So we drove in, and I'm making plans. And I said to her, I'm gonna go park in the free spot. I'm gonna look there by the bathrooms. There was absolutely no cars there. I call it Jim Cantore Island ever since you had your big thing, and Jim Cantore stood there on the video.
Yeah. Remember that big coastal storm last year where he was down on
T-Warp.
And I don't know if it was a fire truck, was like plowing through the water right behind him.
Yeah, and some lady parked there and got stuck, and he actually helped her. So I call it Jim Cantore Island. But I'm parking over there. Nobody was there. And I'm going, wait a second, what's going on? Because it's hard to get a spot there. So we get out, park, and I'm walking. And all of a sudden, I'm noticing there's all these spots in town. I go up to a meter, they covered it. So Rockport has covered all their meters. So it's all free parking. You can go anywhere you want.
Oh, so you didn't need to park. You could have parked closer to downtown.
Yes. And I didn't know that.
You know, I think they do that beginning around Christmas time. Make it free parking.
I didn't see that. I then jumped back in the car and parked at every spot because I won. Then I took a picture and took a picture. Because I've been there enough where you ride all around. Somebody will leave.
Yeah.
And you want to go in there, but it's that crazy. So I was real excited to see all that. And she was, I don't know what you're excited about. I said, I am. I can park this car. Watch. So I'm sharing that if you want to get out there, there are some places open there still. And it's open. Go
free parking in Rockport. Go check it out. Right?
Is that what you're saying? That's the conclusion, I think.
Yeah. A little wide loop there to get to that point.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. You've met him, right?
Good point. So, we're not going to ask the ladies because they don't care about football. Jim, you already said you're taking the Pats. The Pats plus 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only care about football when the Patriots are playing.
This could be a really, a big battle. There's so many different things. The crowd noise. We saw what it did with the other team. Smart stuff and what they're proving. You just kind of go.
They always come from behind, don't they? There's always like injuries.
They didn't come from behind the scene. They went out in front from the start, and they put their foot on their throats and kept the pressure on them.
I just mean in general, like, it always seems like there's all these reports, because I don't follow it every day, so I hear
the
like,
local sport. We're so spoiled with this much success. These sports reporters, they have found they've sold their soul. So they create controversies so that they can continue, so they have something, to talk about. And just people get, so the people get mad at them, and what they found is people will tune in to listen to people that they hate.
They want to
did you hear what that asshole said? And then they listen, and then their ratings are, you know, doing well, and I mean, that's the only explanation I can come up with, because it's so outrageous.
Yeah, it does.
That
wow.
sounds super stressful.
Well, they're just, they don't care because they're making so much money. You know?
I do think the Rams will be, they will win too. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight. There'll be fights on the field. People are going to get injured. It's going to be, they're going to beat the living daylights out of them, each other, because that's the type of team they are. Mentally, physically, and I think the Rams will come out on top. And that will be another battle for the Pats.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, there's a lot of work to do. Anyway, it is the Gloucester, what do we have, 16.
Yes,
I believe this is 16.
Right.
316.
Gloucester Cast, 316.
We didn't take a picture when Ralph was here.
When Ralph was here?
Chris,
when
Chris was here. Chris,
we can take it out. Here it is, the exit music.
All right.
I like to try to catch somebody saying something inappropriate, and I think that I turned off the audio.